This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, if we look outside, we see that rain is drenching the earth, drenching this town, drenching this country. Father, it's soaking deep into the underground, water flows and rivers and that which the eye cannot see. And then we just stand amazed, Lord God, at your love for us. You hear our cry, you hear our plea, and you warm us with your presence. I read out of Samuel, story of David, and there was one particular verse that grabbed hold of me. So this morning, I want to talk to you about finding the heart to pray. And that's the first step for all of us to really engage with God, to really engage and understand who Christ is in our lives. So in order to facilitate what I want to say this morning, I want to tell you a quick story. My daughter is grade 6 now, and she went on open-air school and directly translated, it's field school, so they were literally left in the bush for a week, and obviously with supervision, so don't worry, we know. So this Sunday, or today, 2 weeks ago, we had to drop her off, and they were very excited, but the Lord reminded me that morning, just before I left, one of the teachers in school I'm trying to build a relationship with, to do some training with, leadership training. And just before I left, I said to him, you guys must travel safe. And he came back and he's like, no, we will be safe. It's okay because you're praying for us. And I realized that there's a little seed that dropped and I want to continue with that relationship. But so Aninka went on the open air school and she came back safely with a bus. And when she got back, we went to pick her up on Wednesday morning, around about 11 o'clock, and the first 3 minutes, she were quiet. And then after that, she started babbling, and it was just going on and on and on and on. And then we got to the sort of the whole story, and what happened was they left with a bus, and some rain were expected, and they were dropped off at a specific point on a farm. And then they had to navigate with a card, a map, and and a compass. Yeah, a compass. And they had to navigate to two or three different checkpoints. And in the end, there was a camp set up for them, and they slept there. But here's the thing. The moment that I got off the bus, they only had one bag, one bottle of water, their shoes, one set of clothes, sleeping bag, and that's what they had on them. The rest of their luggage were kept in the bus and was only given to them the next day. So I can imagine my daughter tried to sleep out one time in grade one. And never after that, because there was no desire for that. And here we're dropping her off. She goes into a place where we don't even 100% know where it is, but we know she's going to be safe. And she's got to step up now. So doing this walk, she tells me that they had to climb over gates, and one of the groups got lost. They didn't check in where they had to. And now these are grade 6 girls, navigating towards a specific point. And eventually, that night they got through. The evening, late afternoon, the girls that were lost managed to come back and find their way. But it was a bit of an emotional thing for them because it was raining. They were soaking wet. They were full of mud. They were hungry, thirsty. It was a big ordeal. But when she spoke about it, when she told me about it, there wasn't a single moment where she didn't smile. There was this big grin on her face of accomplishment, of saying that I did something and I did something big. And here's the thing. Through this journey, she discovered certain kids and certain of her friends were struggling with issues. She was sensitive enough to pick up on that. And when she got back, the first thing she said, "Lord, Dad, I want to get this girl and this girl to you that they can talk to you. So I think you need to have a chat with them. Because this and this and this and this happened." And I stood there and I was like, okay. Something dropped in her heart. Through all this time that she's been in ministry with us and discovering the Lord in her own capacity, but also through the way that we serve God, something dropped. And she developed a heart for people around her. And the same with Obitoto yesterday. When we went there, there were people there for the first time. They wanted to go for a long time now. But because of circumstances, sometimes they couldn't. And they went there yesterday. And they got back with a new heart for this place. Because we didn't just go there and leave with our fanciness. But we went there. We worked hard. We left something for those people to see. And here's the amazing thing. Sometimes you would do things in community. You come back to church or you come back to your gathering and you carry on with your life. And a couple of words come to mind. You're like, we did this and we give it to the Lord. Yes, thank you, God, that you continue to give the growth there. And then all of a sudden your word changes. And I'm including myself because I've said it many times before. Your word changes, and what happens is you say, but they're not going to look after it in any way. But when we got there yesterday, they actually improved on what we did the previous time with the little resources that they had. So for them, it was a hard thing. For us, it was a hard thing. For my daughter and some other girls in their group, it was a hard thing. And it comes through a continuous searching for a longing that we have in Christ. We might not recognize it and see it immediately. But the moment that you overstep that boundary, that line, you say, this is a dividing line in my moment, a moment in my life. God takes you to that place and He allows you to see His heart. And when you discover the heart of God, there's something that is birthed from within. Now, David was an amazing guy. God loved him dearly. As a young boy, he fought lions, looked after sheep, played the harp. And then at 15 years old, he went and he took on Goliath. And Goliath said, but you are a puny little guy. What are you doing in front of me? I will crush you. And that's even after they tried to dress him up with all the soldiers' clothes. And he said, oh, whoa. I have my slingshot, I have my rocks, and I'll go. Because the God that I serve is bigger than the enemy that I take on. And then he became chosen, or God chose him to become king. And then he had this altercation with Saul, and Saul didn't like the way David handled him. David conquered many victories, or went through many victories in his life. And Saul chased him down, and that's where some of the Psalms are so deep. And David writes about this journey that he takes on, and how God takes him through this suffering, this trials, these enemies that want to destroy him. And then he has an opportunity to destroy King Saul, to kill him. And he says, this is not for me to do, because I cannot touch the anointed man of God. I'm paraphrasing a lot, so I'm just going to run through the story because I want to get to one specific thing. So David reigned as king for a very long time, and then, and I'm trying to envision it some, when I read through it, I like, in this place I said, I imagine David sitting, he's having a chat with Nathan the prophet, and he's like, Nathan, we serve a mighty God. We've got God that gives us everything. We've got accomplished all these victories. We're rich. We've got a massive kingdom. But here I am sitting in a palace, my own big building, and the Ark of God is outside in a tent. Ooh. So often we see that as well. The heart of God is not always here where we are in our fancy buildings because we are in a comfortable place. But sometimes it's out there where we need to go and search for it, where we are cut off from the natural ways of doing things, our own comfortable ways of doing things. And I believe David just sat there and he's like, this cannot be. God Almighty has got this little tent outside, but what have we got? And then he says he wants to build God a temple. And God and Nathan goes with it and he says, you have to do what you have to do. This is, I encourage you to do it. But that night, a word came to Nathan where God said to him, no, you tell David. He's not going to build a temple. But instead, I will build a temple for him. Sure. That's great. But I've got one. And God says, no. I will build you a kingdom where the throne is established forever, where the descendants from you will reign on that forever. So if you were to get that word today, we'd all be smiling big time. But we need to keep in mind there's elements, there's struggles, there's time. And then David responds with a beautiful prayer. A heartfelt, warming, heartwarming prayer. And the first scripture and the base of what I want to speak about today is all in the scripture. 2 Samuel 7, verse 27 to 28. He says, for you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. So the first point in finding a heart to pray is really searching for the heart. We need to understand that in our search, our hearts are sometimes dead inside. And we continue through this discovery, and God takes us through many, many challenges, many ways, many key things that happen in our lives. And He brings us to that point of discovery. And I believe David was at that point of discovery. And that's why when he found the heart to pray and write this prayer to God, God knew beforehand that it was already established. So if you look at the word courage that they speak about, that's in that verse, the word courage is the Hebrew word led, leb. L-E-B, leb. And it actually is translated to the word heart. And that sentence, or that words needs to read, therefore your servant found the heart to pray this prayer for you. See, there's a big difference. I can find courage and I can lose courage because of fear. I can gain the knowledge of things and I can lose that knowledge again because I file it in a place maybe where it's not relevant to me. So I put it aside. But here's the thing. To find the heart, David had to make a big choice. David had to go through a recount of his whole life and get to that point where he says, I've really found my heart. Because in everything that he endured, he still went back to God. Not because of the things he has. Not because of the riches and the victories that he received. But he really received the heart because of the intimacy that he has with God. And in this prayer, before David, the word that God gives to Nathan, it's a covenant that gets established. And this covenant, if you read that 2 Samuel 7, you'll see that covenant is actually such a deep one that we live off it and from it and in it today, still, because of Jesus Christ. And David discovered this. And he knew what God was speaking about. You see, the covenant is the assurance of eternal life. The covenant that God established with David on his throne is really something that we cannot grasp. If we do not have an intimate relationship with God. And I'm not saying here that we often pray quick prayers in the morning, 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there. And then it's as if we sort of close the door because we've said what we had to say. And then when a circumstance or a situation appear in our lives, we respond to that. So, the bank didn't grant my loan, or I'm in financial trouble, or I'm going through a divorce, or I just found out I've got this deadly disease, or a snake has bitten me. It happens. But our response to that is circumstantial, because we go into speaking to God from a place of circumstance, and we miss the heart of God for us. We miss what David had inside him to respond to this prayer. He did not respond to the victories. He did not respond because of that, but he responded because he knew God intimately. So in finding the heart to pray, we need to search for it. Because if you don't search for it, you're not going to find it. And through searching, you will discover, because God is true to his word. Seek me and you will find me. And then God comes and he establishes this covenant with David. And David humbly considers himself unworthy of all the blessings, attributes. Instead, his success to the Lord, he gives it only to God. He says, Lord, I am nothing. His discovery was that without God, he is absolutely nothing. But doesn't that move your heart to know that God chose you and me in spite of everything that we do? In spite of everything that we do in life, And I sat the other week, 2 weeks now, running with this through my head and thinking, yo, if God were to appear to me, and or not, if he were to say these audible words to me that I want to establish this covenant with you, and I want to establish God speaking to me audibly, I would actually run and hide, get in a closet or something. And why do I say that? Because the moment I think of what God said through David is going to happen, the establishment of his son on the throne, Jesus Christ, who died for us, I start to get tears in my eyes. If I continue to think of who I am and who God is, and I sit in the mornings and I meditate on that, and I'm like, Lord, that's why Paul writes in his word, there's no distinction, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it moves my heart. Because who am I that the Lord is mindful of me? And this is what we did this morning. We dedicated a little child to the works of God, to the eternal throne that God has established to us. And in that, and through that, we help them discover the heart for God. You see, my journey in my life is not because I was forced or coerced into it, but my heart for God was found in the fact that I made a choice for Him. We so often see it as a duty. We have to go to church on Sunday. We have to attend missions. We have to do this. But the moment that you step into that unfamiliar ground, crossing that line, you discover the heart of God. In our own comforts, it doesn't happen. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. In searching, David discovered the following, his intimacy with God. And if we look at verse 18, it says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? Just look at the words, went in and sat before the Lord. When you look at those words, there's a big revelation here that we so often miss. Because I used to pray like this. Get up in the morning, make the coffee, go sit, and then I babble. Blah, 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 blah. That's if I did it. Now, then it becomes time to get the children up to start doing things. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Amen. And then I go. So, my heart wasn't really always in it, because I was actually just praying from a circumstantial point of view, asking God to bless me in my day. Help me with my things. But never really acknowledging God in the truest of His forms of discovering who He is. And here David went in and sat. If you go into your boss's, let's say you go into your boss calls you to his office, and you go in, you stand with one foot in the door and the other one just outside the door, and he's got an important thing that he wants to say to you, and the very next moment you're like, sorry, I said what I said, but I've got to go. So, and he's like, whoa, what happened here? He's obviously going to call you in and say, hey, we need to discuss this. But there's a difference when we go in, we close the door behind us and we go sit and we listen. This is what David did. his response was from the feet of God. When prayer becomes just knowledge, how we pray, the right words, the correct format, if we jot it down, this is how I need to pray today, this is how I'm going to do it, it will remain empty. It will be like a plastic plant in a pot. It will have good show. People will see, wow, this guy knows his words. He's amazing. But it will be empty inside. When we pray with a mind and not with a heart, this is what happens. We reshuffle our words to fit and build our own way that we see God. But if prayer is birthed from within the heart, that deeper part. And we need to understand it. How does the heart work? For the heart to take somebody in or discover or really let that person be set here, he's always in a place of saying, whoa, 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 whoa. He's weary. He's on the edge. The heart is there where you don't just go into somebody's heart. It takes time. It takes a real revelation and conviction for me to let somebody in that close inner circle of my heart. The heart is not easily convinced by things. But the moment that he allows that person or that emotion or that understanding or that conviction, it will remain there. The heart cannot do what the mind does and discard things and place them in this little file 13 that we always have at the back here, just in case we're going to use it. But the heart brings about a discovery. The heart grows and is set. And that's why David could say, "For I found the heart to pray this prayer to you." Because of his understanding who God is. If we look at Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2, it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and not on the things of the earth." If your heart has discovered Christ, your mind will automatically start thinking of this and seeking the things of above, where Christ is. Romans 8, verse 26 to 28 says, "And he who searched hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." The discovery of who God is in our lives will make that seed grow deeper and root and take that root down to the place where it's fed with nourishment and water. If we just feed it from above, it's going to burn out. But when the roots are nestled in the river of life, in the heart of God, our prayers will be fruitful from within that point. So we search, we discover, and then we make it our own. When we go on missions, when we go and serve somebody else, we discover that mercy, that kindness, that richness that God embedded in us. He placed those feelings in us, in our hearts. He built our DNA around his own image. So we will all discover those, but only when we go outside of ourselves, when we go to serving somebody and really discovering that. So making it your own means that after your discovery, you take that and you personally allow it to grow. Discovering can happen in many ways. We've got many ways to allow you to discover God. Intercession, accountability, small group, missions, outreaches. There's an endless, just go and do something for somebody next door, the neighbor next door. Just see a person, speak to him, hear his story. And the moment that you hear his story, you'll be engaged in that. So in discovering it, you make it your own. You bring it to a place where Philippians 3 verse 12 says that, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Why do we find it difficult to pray? Why do we struggle to give our time to God? Are we scared of the answer? Is our prayer more a response to our circumstances? Or do we engage truly in the heart of God, as David did, in discovering the person of God, in making the person of God his own? In so many psalms, so many of David's life, you will see how he called out to God. And he said, Lord, these people are doing harm to your name. These people are murdering your people. Why don't you just come and show them who you are? But the thing is, if I show you these pictures, you're going to say, oh, okay, it's going to be good. It looks nice. Wow, it's amazing. We stirred some emotion. We immediately thought, okay, but maybe we can do something like this, or maybe we can do something different there. Maybe I can have, I want to get involved, but let me just do a fundraising first, or I can give a bit of money. But the moment that you get in the bus with us, you drive there, you discover what's happening, you get your hands dirty, you get your arm workout with all the dust and the shovels that you take up, you discover the heart of God. Because then you make it your own. The Word of God, the knowledge of God, for each one of us, can remain knowledge unless we make it our own. The Word of God is life. And if you read the Word of God and you say, oh, that's a good book, it's a fantastic storybook, you need to dig deeper and seek the heart of God. Because he says, those that seek me will find me. And here's the thing. I can have all the knowledge, but if I do not have the heart for God, the heart for people, I will be an empty vessel. If I do not allow God to transform me in the way that I speak, in the way that I do, I will remain empty. David didn't just stand on the side. He engaged. He went in. He stepped over the boundary lines. And he really sought the heart of God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.